the columns, and they could pour the core elevator and the other walls. If we try and speed this process up, it becomes a safety hazard for all the workers that are there. There was a building up in a deck pour up in Seattle within the last month that collapsed. Luckily, no one was hurt during this time. We need to make sure that, yes, the people need to be able to have some sort of relevant of sleep, but to be able to move on these projects like this within that time frame, it is really hard to get all that into one day in a safe manner. These workers are highly trained and they know what they're doing, and that amount of time that it takes to do this project is the amount of time that it takes. Of course, like Josh was just saying, you have concrete companies that are trying to get the concrete out to you. If there's a hiccup in that, it takes a little bit longer. You're waiting on concrete. You have 20 guys sitting there trying to get it going. Once that process starts moving, they're trying to do it in the fastest, most quickest way possible. I mean, I'm here to be concerned about the workers and wanting to make sure that everyone goes home safe within the allotted
amount of time. Sir, since you're the expert that we get to ask here, so the variance, runs from 4 to 6. If the council decided to move it from 5 to 7, doesn't that still meet your needs?
I would assume. I don't speak for Bremick. I speak for the workers of our labor pool with the council. Obviously, that extended amount of time would be able to do that, but as long as, you know, it's within a safe work environment, you know, I can't really say that that would be yay or nay, but the, you know, the later you get in the day, the tire more, you know, they get more, you know, tired, and safety factors become an issue.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Is my mic on?
No. Could you push the button, please?
Hi, my name is Betsy Reese, and I'm speaking today in support of issuing the permits, although I'm far from without empathy for the appellants. Over a 15-year period, I stood up for our 80-plus inner-city apartment tenants, defending their right to peacefully enjoy their homes. Among the over one dozen protracted noise issues that we worked through during that time, most were clear violations of the law, and we had a number of construction noise variances granted. Never once were my concerns dismissed. The Portland Noise Control Office, Paul Van Orden, helped empower me to resolve issues directly with our commercial and industrial neighbors or with construction contractors. He unwaveringly enforced the noise ordinance no matter who was on the other side of the conflict when we could not work it out. And yes, he did sometimes have to tell me that a noise variance was necessary for the progress of our city and for the greater good. For example, our building being on North Broadway, a major arterial, the Portland East Side Streetcar, was granted multiple variances for all-night work, tearing up the street, laying streetcar rails. This is outside a historic building that does not have climate control on warm summer nights with open tenant windows. We and our tenants were grateful for the action that was taken to attenuate the noise and light disturbance that comes with these projects, and we were especially grateful for the heads up on the dates and times so that although we could not control it, the noise was at least predictable, making it easier to tolerate. To me, the overriding issue is our Portland Noise Control Office has no more staff today than it did in 1976. When it was founded.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Okay. Was there a Melissa Stewart? Okay. And we'll go with Desi Wright.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. I'm just speaking for the Noise Review Board. I just simply want to make sure.
Could you please state your name for the
record? I'm sorry. Thank Melissa
you.
Stewart.
Thank you.
I hope you understood that it's the size of the pour, and that's just part of the project that determines whether a variance is asked for. And typically, it hasn't been a problem. And the chair delegates the responsibility to give the variance when it's asked for as a matter of administrative facility. We don't usually get involved in it. And it's unfortunate that it has to come to you to determine what happens with an appeal, but there's not a hearings officer to deal with it. So sorry if it's taking too much time, but we really don't have an appeal very frequently. So I hope you take that into consideration.
Understood. Thank you, Commissioner.
Just speaking for myself, these appeals give us a chance to hear issues that we in a structured form, which I actually find very helpful. And it has not, from time to time, I even recall one, Commissioner Fritz then pursuing legislative changes based on what we've learned. So we should be apologizing to you for the time that we ask you to serve and then be here. We have the highest regard for Paul's work. But these are actually, I find these very helpful because I learn a lot about how we're getting these livability issues. We have the chance to hear from construction professionals and others. And our job is to balance a number of things. And I wouldn't want to have one of these every week. I find very helpful for the council in just understanding these issues and in essence, trying to do justice, trying to find the middle ground. But thank you for your comments.
Yeah, I want to second that. And to be clear, my comment was really I was fishing to understand what our role actually was here and where the breakdown was, if any. Because as I was listening to the testimony, I was hearing what initially sounded like two parties who were not very far apart. So that was the only implication of the comments I made earlier. And I do appreciate your being here. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. My name is Desi Wright. I'm a resident of Sullivan's Gulch neighborhood. And also I'm a representative with the Northwest Regional Council of Carpenters. I'm actually the pile driver's representative. We also do concrete work as well. I just wanted to say, I mean, as a resident of Portland, I see the growing pains, and it's changed a lot just in the decade I've been in the Gulch, and we see it, and it's looking like it's going to keep going on for a few more years. As long as all these projects are in place, there's a lot of aspects that go into the timing, especially when you come into these big concrete pours, the availability to close streets. Is one thing that we run into, the availability to get concrete trucks, the availability to get workers. Normally in the construction industry, we start 7 a.m. until the job's done. It's not normally something where you go in and you punch a clock at 7 and you punch a clock at 3:30. We start and we're there till it finishes. I know that sometimes starting in the early morning hours is difficult. But also, please keep in mind that a lot of our members do not live in Portland. We're seeking workers from all over Oregon to come help us build Portland right now. These are guys that wake up well before the sun comes up, drive an hour or 2 hours to Portland to work. And I'd just like you to keep in mind that these guys are up and out the door before their children wake up. And they are coming home right before their children go to bed. So if we push these pours to start back later, I mean, our members aren't going to be able to spend time with their families if this is the direction things go.
Thank you.
Okay. The last person I show is Carrie Stanley.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Oh, okay. I'm Carrie Stanley. I'm the professional acoustical profession representative on the Noise Review Board. And just for a little background, I was on the Noise Review Board for 25 years prior to the time when the decision was made to limit the number of years you could be on it. I've been asked to come back after a six-year delay or off of it. So I've got quite a bit of experience in dealing with variances on the board. And what I've been hearing from you is that you're finding it's difficult to make decisions like this, to get the conditions right. We face that all the time, and that's why you've got this appeal. The board did not make this decision, but we had made decisions similar to it where Mr. Van Orden saw the kind of the direction the board was going. We then allowed for the noise control officer to take on some of those responsibilities without having to come to the board. And what I understand is that he made a decision to allow for a couple of these pours, to the preparation work to start at 4 a.m., but that the pour itself wouldn't begin until 5 a.m. And there are two of those that you're hearing about. And then the other four were to start preparation at 5, pours begin at 6. So it's not quite, like he said, it's not the full noise starting at 4 o'clock in the morning, but there is some noise. And just also wanted to comment on the fact that, if you can think about it, the ordinance doesn't say you can't have construction between 6 p.m. and 7 a.m. It says you have to do it within the constraints of the noise limits that are they're applicable at the time. So what the 7 a.m. to 6 p.m. does is allows more noise to occur, and that's all it does. It doesn't. There's no restriction, though, on construction.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Appreciate it. Very good. And at this point, there's an opportunity for the appellant to do 5 minutes of rebuttal if they would like.
I'll sit here. And this chair is just right.
Very good. Thank you.
I'll be very brief at the outset. I've spent 45 years of my career working in the healthcare business with hospitals and physicians. And I'm accustomed to working with orthopedists and cardiac surgeons that love to start surgery early, even though nurses and others may wish to come in later. With healthcare reform and cost incentives and motivations changing, the whole business is changing as part of an overall paradigm. And I would say that probably the construction industry needs to be a little more flexible, particularly in densely populated areas. In New York City, Mayor Bloomberg has done a phenomenal job of dealing with these kinds of issues, starting with pile driving, et cetera. Secondly, part of the motivation in our building to file this appeal is hopefully to establish a precedent, because we have, within the next 6 months, right next door to this canopy project, the framework project, which involves a demolition and, albeit a very innovative wood frame construction, that nonetheless will carry with it noise considerations. Down between Cooch and Everett, we have a half a block, 14-story building. And I would see that your decision on this appeal probably would represent an important precedent for the noise control office. If you were to perhaps accept our request to go with a two-hour later start time, 6 a.m. setup, 7 o'clock pour, presumably that would be enforced with other projects in our area and throughout the city. Mary?
Okay, I'm going to have to talk fast. I'm going to give you some examples of my observations. In 2015, I observed a concrete pour at the 26-story apartment project across the street from where I live. Anderson Construction had a very large pour using two pumps scheduled to begin at 5 a.m. that morning. They had a mechanical pump breakdown, which we've heard about. As it turned out, they did not begin until 9 a.m. that morning. In spite of the late start, they were finished spreading, finishing, and everybody was gone at 4 p.m. in the afternoon. During the construction of the 28-story Cosmopolitan on the other side of the building where I live, Anderson was able to do every single pour after 7 a.m., and part of the reason is they broke things up. They didn't always do the pillars the same day that they did the floor. They didn't always do the elevator the same day. But we're talking about 30 stories. We're talking about more than 30 pours. Last April, Walsh Construction notified neighbors that they wanted to apply for a permit to start a concrete pour at 3 a.m. When I contacted the project supervisor, he admitted that their main concern was disrupting traffic. When I pointed out he'd be disrupting the sleep of over 300 neighbors, he said, "Oh, I'll go back to the drawing board," and they ended up getting a variance permit for a 5 a.m. start. So obviously the 3 a.m. start was desirable, not necessary. This is what one resident experienced the day of that 5 a.m. pour. They began at 5:40. At 5:45, they had seven trucks on site. At 5:48, they had 8 trucks on site. At 6 a.m., they had 3 trucks lined up in front of the Elizabeth with 5 on site. At 10:20, they had 10 trucks in the vicinity. It was loud, and when I decided to try to go back to sleep, I put in earplugs, headphones, and a pillow over my head, and I could still hear it quite well. Nothing really changed with their traffic control throughout the pour. I never noticed any traffic backup. I was at the site of Bremick's 4 a.m. concrete pour on March 30th. They began set up at 4 a.m. Concrete trucks began to arrive at 5, right as the permit granted. I returned at noon and watched the last concrete truck leave the site at 12:30 p.m. When I went back at 2:30, it appeared that all of the spreaders, the finishers, everyone was gone, and there were just workers, a couple of workers working on the pillars. There were no pump trucks. Around 3 p.m., they locked up the gates. At 4:30, there were just the workers working on the pillars. The pump truck was leaving the site. I was also on site for their pour at 6 a.m. this past Saturday. I arrived at 5:45. They were just beginning to unlock the gates and begin setup. Setup was completed at 6:40. The first concrete truck arrived on site, and they began pouring at 6:50 a.m. I went back to the site at 1:30. There were no concrete trucks on site. The pump, spreaders, finishers, everybody was gone. As you can see from those photos that I gave you at the morning start and at 3 o'clock, what it looked like. I went back to the site at 4 p.m., and there was no one in sight. Bremick's project is not the only project that was pouring that Saturday, last Saturday. Anderson Construction began pouring at 5 o'clock at 13th and Johnson. I went by there at 5:30 on my way down to the Bremick site. Oop, can I finish?
Quickly.
I've only got a couple
Thank
things.
You.
Okay. Anyhow, they started at 5, and when I went by at 1 o'clock, they were finished. Anderson Construction also did a pour at 11th and Pettigrove on Saturday. They started at 7 o'clock. They told me that they would be doing all of their concrete pours at 7 o'clock. This is a 20-story building. So the bottom line is, if Bremick feels that they can't complete their pours within the 11-hour window, what we ask is, please do not allow any more 4 and 5 a.m. pours, 6 o'clock at the earliest, and quite honestly, nothing on a Saturday before 7 o'clock. We need to shift the paradigm of starting early, not disrupting traffic, and give consideration to the fact that we have hundreds of people living in this densely populated area.
Thank you very much. And I've given the appellant one extra minute. Okay. I don't know if the principal opponent would like one extra minute or not, in the interest of fairness.
Mm-hmm. Can,
we're
can
good.
I answer your question about why you're here and the number of...
I think I have that
okay.
pretty well understood at this point. Thank you, though.
In the past, there haven't been appeals because we haven't been able to meet the 10-day limit.
Got it. Thank you. Great. Okay, so that brings us then to the end of the discussion. Now we're at the point of council discussion. We can talk about next steps. The noise control officer had requested that we tentatively take up this issue and give them some direction to come back with next week. And at this point, I'd entertain any thoughts my fellow commissioners might have on the subject.
Mayor,
Commissioner Fish? Oh, I'm sorry, Commissioner...
Mayor, may I just... I just want to remind council, though, in...
We know. It's tentative.
No. I just want to articulate the facts on which you are making your tentative recommendation so that Mr. Van Orden can draft the ordinance. That was it.
Commissioner Fish?
So... this has been a very thoughtful and useful hearing. And when I asked Paul, Mr. Van Orden, who is a regular before council, whether this is more art than science, he said more art. And what I was looking for was sort of guidance from him as to what's really prescribed versus where is that gray area we'll use our best judgment. And we appreciate the judgment that the board makes, and we appreciate the judgment that hearing officer makes. I think I am becoming more influenced by the fact that I live in a building in a dense area and am impacted by this more, and I have a greater sensitivity to how this does affect people. their sleep patterns, their health, their whatever. So currently, Mayor, my view is, the way I would slice this is I would not grant the variance for any weekend work, and I would consider the variance for the other days, non-Saturdays, but I would prefer that we start an hour later and extend the clock an hour. And this is, we would not be setting a precedent. These cases are unique, but I think that's a way to slice it, to take Saturdays off, not to give a variance for Saturday, because I think that early start time is just disruptive, and I think people need 2 days to rest. But to shift the hours from four to what, instead of starting at four, start at five, shift it an extra hour, and I don't think that will, from what I've heard, interfere with the ability to get the concrete pours.
And that's just on weekdays, and
yes,
on weekends,
that would be my
go
suggestion.
Back to the standard ordinance. Very good. Commissioner Fritz?
We weren't asked at the beginning whether we had any ex parte contacts or potential conflicts of interest. I do want to state that my son and daughter-in-law live at Park and Flanders, which is just kind of kitty-quartered to this. I've had no discussions with them about this. I am very familiar, however, with the area. And one of the reasons I'm familiar with the area is because we had some challenges with the North Park blocks and people sleeping there and being there during the day. And it was alleged by some of the neighbours that businesses closing was due to that factor. So I agree with your suggestion to not allow any variances on weekends. I do wonder whether there will be people who would be impacted by shifting the times, in particular businesses that are going to be relying on customers over the dinner hour, for example, which is a different set of people that would be impacted.
The one, I know that area, I mean, you and I both know that area very well because of the park. I have no ex parte contacts on this. But because that street is closed, because they're closing the north-south street in front of the building to do the pours, and there is no restaurant on that street, I think that's less of a concern.
And so that would be your reason for saying this is a very specific issue?
It's a site-specific solution. I don't like the idea of the variance on the weekends for the reasons you and I agree on. But because of the concerns raised by the construction company about competing for concrete and we've heard concerns from about worker safety and those things, I'm not in a position to dispute they need the extra time. I just suggest we shift it an hour so it's less impactful in that early morning hour.
And is the noise, I'm going to look at Paul for a yes or a no nod, how does the noise extend for several blocks around the site, or is it more specific to the immediate vicinity?
You know, for these operations, we would expect that people within about two blocks are impacted by it, so it does extend a little bit more. Real quick, though, on the question of later-end noise in terms of running into the night and impacting hotels, we tend to be at the quieter operations by the end of the pour, so it shouldn't be a notable impact on restaurant, bar-type uses.
That's very helpful, because I know there's art galleries and such in that area, so that I share your confirm your where you're leading us, Commissioner Fish.
Thank you.
Oh, that's already on. I am largely in accord with Commissioner Fish. I'd say that would be my absolute limit, the 5 a.m. setup, 6 a.m. begin. I might be persuaded to push it forward another hour. And I agree with a weekend, no variance on the weekend. I do want to say that having lived almost in that neighborhood, a few blocks away from the neighborhood, and having had a business downtown, when you live and site your business down there, you can just expect a level of construction that you don't deal with typically throughout the city. And that the construction that built the buildings that people are living in now were disrupting someone else's sleep and lives. So we have to strike a balance there.
Commissioner, the one factor that influenced my thinking was the amount of rain we've had. And of course, construction cycles don't necessarily anticipate the rain, but this particular project has been hammered by the rain, and I'm thinking a little more flexibility to allow them to stay on. And when we heard from the contractor that that this may be a cost borne by the contractor and not the operator, I would feel a little differently. That concerns me, because we're talking about local jobs versus the Hilton Corporation or whoever's going to be there, and I'd be loath to impose too many costs on our local contractor.
And I also like to add, I have had no ex parte contact on this matter. This is the business or industry my family was in, so I might have a little bit more greater understanding, I guess, of how complex these operations can be and how costly delays are. I also grew up with a dad that left before I got up for school and came home late. And I am now in that position myself. So I think,
so
are
let,
we?
let me say this. And by the way, for these types of hearings, we don't have to declare ex parte contacts.
Oh,
and that's,
okay.
I did clarify that. Yep. I think we should, just so that all hearings that come before the city council are consistent, so we sort of know the routine. So I will likewise declare I have no ex parte contacts on this matter, although I certainly know some of the people involved. That being said, I strongly support Commissioner Fish's thinking. It goes all the way back to the first public comment we had this morning. I like this compromise. Nobody else will. I think it is a rational compromise given the two competing forces that we've heard. I don't think the construction company will be particularly happy, and I don't think that the local residents will be particularly happy, but I think it's bringing it closer to the center. And so I appreciate your efforts on a fairly split community, if I can use that word, community view on this, at least between the appellant and the opponent. I think this seems like a reasonable middle ground. Now, what Paul had asked is we give a tentative direction to him to bring back, if I'm understanding correctly, Mr. Van Orden, a more formal interpretation next week, or what is your preference as the noise ordinance officer? What product would you like us to deliver, given that we've stated a preference?
I think you've given me clear enough direction that we can frame this into your intention, so you have something to move on, and so that there won't be confusion at the next meeting for the appellant or for the noise office. So I think we're in a good position to write up the direction you'd like us to head. I don't think there's too many letters.
Is this the equivalent then of a first reading on an ordinance, or what is the framework under which we operate this?
It's a little bit different. I think what we intend to do is draft up an order, and then you'll vote on it next week formally, saying yes, this is the order.
The record is closed on this hearing. You will provide us with final language, and we will take it up effectively as we would a second reading. Is that correct? Okay.
And the most important thing is Mr. Van Orden nodding that he has the sufficient direction that he needs to craft the compromise.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's no formal vote required today.
That part I better leave that to just make sure that the city attorney makes that call.
I understand from your comments the vote is 4-0 for this approach, and then
correct,
we'll draft it up in that order.
Perfect.
Okay.
And I do want to thank everybody for your participation in this hearing. It's been very helpful on all sides to let us know what the challenges are, and I hope that this will work better for both sides.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, colleagues, I have a question for you. We never got to 382 this morning. We do have